بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: باب بر والديه ما لم يكن معصية. حدثنا محمد بن عبد العزيز قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن الخطاب. عبد الملك بن الخطاب بن عبيد الله بن أبي بكرة البصري لقيته بالرملة قال حدثني راشد أبو محمد عن شهر بن حوشب عن أم الدرداء عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتسع: لا تشرك بالله شيئا، وإن قطعت أو حرقت، ولا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا، ومن تركها متعمدا برئت منه الذمة، ولا تشربن الخمر فإنها مفتاح كل شر، وأطع والديك وإن أمراك أن تخرج من دنياك فاخرج لهما، ولا تنازعن ولاة الأمر وإن رأيت أنك أنت، ولا تفرر من الزحف وإن هلكت وفر أصحابك، وأنفق من طولك على أهلك، ولا ترفع عصاك على أهلك، وأخفهم في الله عز وجل. باب بر والديه ما لم يكن معصية. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is initiating a new chapter. And in this chapter, he wishes again to discuss kindness to parents, being good to parents, as long as one does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Birru walidayhi ma lam yakun ma'asiyatan. To show kindness to one's parents, to be good to one's parents, to be obedient to one's parents, as long as one does not have to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the rule is, لَا تَعَتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. In disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should never obey the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Father, mother, teacher, sheikh, older brother, somebody whom we are totally indebted to, somebody whom we owe so much, king, ruler, tyrant, when it comes to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as a result of obeying someone I will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should not obey the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are certain circumstances where the Sharia has given permission. For example, if life is in danger, the ulama-i-kiram have explained to us in details those circumstances where one is able to leave an injunction of Sharia, leave a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of force from a tyrant and where the life is in danger. But where life is not in danger, honor is not in danger, those circumstances where Sharia has permitted us to abandon a particular command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of life, honor being in danger. Other than that, it is not permissible to abandon a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to make someone else happy. Birru walidayhi, to be kind, to be good, to be obedient to one's parents, as long as this does not entail disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned two ahadith in this regard. The first hadith he narrates from his teacher, his sheikh in hadith, his ustad Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz. Who narrates this hadith from Abdul Malik ibn Khattab, who in turn narrates this hadith from Rashid Abu Muhammad, who narrates from Shahr ibn Hawshab, who narrates from Ummud Darda, the wife of Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, who narrates from Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, and Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu directly narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The teacher of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz, he narrates this hadith from Abdul Malik ibn al-Khattab ibn Ubaidillah ibn Abi Bakrah al-Bisri rahimahumullahu ta'ala. And Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz says that I met my ustad Abdul Malik ibn al-Khattab in Ar-Ramla. Lakituhu bir-Ramlati. I met him in Ar-Ramla, and this is where he narrated this hadith to me. And there are various places where a town existed with the name of Ar-Ramla. The ulama state that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Tabi'een, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, there were various places where towns existed, localities existed with the name of Ar-Ramla. Here, Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions that Ar-Ramla, which is well known amongst the academics, Muslim academics, and which is situated in Ash-Sham. In this day and age, Sham has been divided into parts. Palestine was part of Sham, Lebanon was part of Sham. Parts of Iraq, part of Sham. Syria was part of Sham. So Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz says that I met my Ustad Abdul Malik ibn al-Khattab in Ar-Ramlah. And Ramlah is that town which was located in Ash-Sham. And the distance between Ar-Ramlah and Baytul Maqdis is only 18 miles. So Ar-Ramlah is situated in Palestine itself. And he says, Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz, that I met my Ustad Abdul Malik ibn Khattab in Ar-Ramlah. I heard this hadith from him. And Abdul Malik ibn Khattab, my teacher, said that he had heard this hadith from Rashid, who had heard this hadith from Shahr ibn Hawshab, who narrated this hadith from Abu Darda, and who narrated this hadith from Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, who narrated the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had two wives. And the name of both of them were Ummu Darda. One is known as Ummu Darda al-Kubra. And the other is known as Ummu Darda al-Sugra. The older Ummu Darda and the younger Ummu Darda. Because both of them had the same name and both of them were the wives of the same husband. So in order to recognize both, one was called Ummu Darda al-Kubra, the older Ummu Darda, the big Ummu Darda. And Ummu Darda al-Sugra, the younger Ummu Darda. And this young Ummu Darda, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, was faqiha. She was also alima. She was also zahida. And she was also labiba. So she was faqih. She was a scholar. She did not have inclination towards the pleasures of this world. And she was very clever and intelligent. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu and this young Ummu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, there was a big age gap difference between the two of them. Because Ummu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anha became an orphan at a very young age, and Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu looked after her, he nurtured her, and he brought her up. And when she grew up, when she became a full-grown woman, capable of getting married, then Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu proposed to those people who may have been responsible. And as a result of this proposal, Ummu Darda al-Sugra was married to Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And they lived a very happy life. The point that I'm trying to deduce here is that if there is a big age difference between the husband and the wife, it is no problem as long as they both like each other, they both are happy with each other, and they both love each other. Abu Darda radiyallahu anha used to take this young Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha when she was in her childhood to the masjid. And she was so young at that time that she would stand in the sufuf of the men and perform her salat. So there was quite a difference between the age between Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu and Ummu Darda. And right from childhood, because she was honored or fortunate with the company of Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, the great sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, she would sit in the halaqat, in the al-masjid al-nabawi, halaqat of ilm, halaqat of dhikr. So she became abida, she became zahida, she became very pious. She became inclined towards ilm. And when she grew up eventually, Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala married her. But they both remained very happy with each other. They loved each other very much. Despite the age gap being more than normal. And the proof that Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha, despite being very young, was very happy with Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is that Ummu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anha used to say to Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that in this world, it was your proposal that made me your wife. Now I am proposing to you that in the hereafter make me your wife. If Umme Darda was not happy with Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, why would she say this to Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu? That in this world I became your wife as a result of your proposal. Now I am proposing to you that in the hereafter, keep me as your wife in Jannat also. So, the age difference does not make a couple's married life difficult if they both like each other, if they both love each other. If they are both compatible. And in the case of Aisha radiallahu anha and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this was the reality. This was the fact. That they both were very compatible. They both loved each other very much. They both liked each other very much. And Aisha radiallahu anha has narrated so many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, the six sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain who have narrated the most ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of them is Aisha radiallahu anha. And there are other companions, other sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain who have narrated incidents from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which is related to Aisha radiallahu anha. So Aisha radiallahu anha is mentioned in hundreds of ahadith. You will not be able to find a single hadith, a single incident, a single statement of Aisha radiallahu anha which will make you feel that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was not happy with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam passed away when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was 18 year old. And she was a very matured lady, or rather a very matured young girl. Sometimes we also in our families have young children who are more matured than the normal children. We have an 8-year-old boy who talks more sense than majority of the 12-year-olds. Aisha radiallahu anha was one of those exceptional ladies who was very matured at a very young age. And this we can find from the ahadith reported by her,
the incidents reported by her, the questions she would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the number of ahadith that she has narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was a very, very academic personality, very intelligent lady. So at the age of 18, when she was 18, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and after that she lived for many years. Even during those many years, you would only hear emanating from her tongue nothing but goodness about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Ummu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Ummu Darda as-Sugra, Maymun ibn Mahran rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that whenever I went to meet Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha, obviously remaining within the limits of Sharia with the injunctions of hijab, whenever I went to meet Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha, because she was an alima, she was a faqiha, so even the male used to go and try to benefit from her, just as the males benefited from Aisha radiyallahu anha. Even the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain used to go to Aisha radiyallahu anha. The Tabi'in used to go to Aisha radiyallahu anha. Great men became her students. But remaining fully within the boundaries of Sharia. So Maymun ibn Mahran says that whenever I went to Ummu Darda, I always found her performing salat. So whenever I went to meet her, whenever I went to benefit from her academically, then by the khadim or by the attendant, I was always told that wait, she is performing salat. Wait, she is performing salat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate her status. She narrates from Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the well-known sahabi whose name is Uwaymir ibn Malik. He accepted Islam on the day of the Battle of Badr, and thereafter he also participated in Uhud. He used to say that before I became a Muslim, I was a tradesman. After I became a Muslim, I tried to move along with tijara and ibadah. I tried to spend my life with both things. I wanted to remain a businessman, a tradesman, and I also wanted to perform a lot of ibadah. So he said, before accepting Islam, I was only a tajir. I was only a tradesman, a businessman. After accepting Islam, I thought that I would remain a businessman, but at the same time I would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. But he said, I could not unite the two together, or the two did not unite. The two did not unite. When I wanted to perform ibadah, the business demanded something. When I wanted to do business, the ibadah demanded something. So both could not unite. So he said, فَأَخَذْتُ الْعِبَادَةَ وَتَرَكْتُ التِّجَارَةَ. So he said, I left business and I held fast to ibadah. From the many sayings of Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one very beautiful saying. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu was very, very wise. He is the Hakimul Ummah. He was given the title Hakimul Ummah, the most wise of the Ummah. One of his very beautiful saying, he said, Rubba shahwati sa'atin awrasat huznan tawila. an enjoyment of a moment. There are many enjoyments of a moment which brings long anxiety. So a person is overcome with shahwa, with unlawful desire, and he is unable to control, he is able to, but he does not control himself, and he goes ahead and he tries to fulfill that desire, unlawful desire. How long will it take him to fulfill that desire? A moment. From a 60-year, 70-year, 80-year life, half an hour is only a moment. Half an hour, a moment, 15 minutes, moment, sometimes it may only be 5 minutes. So a person is overcome with unlawful desire, and he fulfills that unlawful desire, and it takes him only a moment. But the consequences of this mistake of a moment will bring grief in his life for a long, long time. Maybe for a few years. Maybe for throughout life. In Urdu, we say, لمحوں نے خطا کی صدیوں نے سزا پائی. لمحوں نے خطا کی. Moments made the mistake, and the centuries had to pay the price. So let us resolve today that inshallah we will not let our unlawful desires overpower our faculty of intellect. And we will always do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not follow our unlawful desires and do that which will ruin our future, which will ruin our lives. There are so many good people. Overcome by nafs, they make a mistake. Sometimes desire for wealth. Sometimes carnal desires. Sometimes desire for fame. A little mistake. Or the mistake is big, but it takes only a few moments to make that mistake. Very good people. Very good people. They are lured by nafs. That, oh, if you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will get this. If you do this, nobody will know. Nobody will find out. Nothing's going to happen. And it takes only a few moments to make that big mistake, which spoils our future for good. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. The clever one is he who controls his nafs, who controls his base desire, who controls his unlawful desire. Why? Because when a person is able to control his desire, وَعَمِرَ لِمَا بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ, then he is able to prepare for the life hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to follow this advice of Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. رُبَّ الشَّهْوَةِ سَعَاتٍ أَوْرَثَتْ حُزْنًا طَوِيلًا. That many a times unlawful desire of a moment brings long grief, long anxiety. A person loses everything. Inshallah, we will continue with the hadith next week. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.